Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
With tens of thousands of refugees expected in Ireland over the coming months, many communities up and down the country are scaling up their efforts to help integrate Ukrainians fleeing the war. Brian O'Connell reports.
It's Monday night upstairs in the Blarney Castle Hotel, in a room often used by resident committees or community groups. Tonight, almost 2 years after some locals met to first plan their COVID response, they're now meeting once again for emergency planning, albeit of a very different kind. Here is Kate Durant from Blarney Community Response Group.
So I suppose we're just setting ourselves up to be ready for we don't quite know what.
And you've set up a Facebook page, which is to basically introduce yourselves to Ukrainians who may be coming here.
Yeah, well, we thought we set up a Facebook page, Welcome to Blarney, because that's it, isn't it? It's the welcome. But it's just to let them know they're welcome. I know Father Michael in the church, he's got, well, it's not a Ukrainian flag, it's actually a Clare flag, but the but the spirit is good.
So this is about a community here which is well used to welcoming visitors in terms of tourism, and now you're having to put a welcome mat out for a very different type of visitor.
From a community point of view, I suppose the whole point would be to try to, you know, provide amenities for them, and we'll say a meeting place, which obviously will be really important if we have, I don't know, 20, 30 families in the area.
Tell us about the significance of the sewing machine.
I was contacted by a friend of mine in Malta, who has a friend here in Cork. She's actually Russian. Her name is Anastasia. A family from Ukraine have relocated to Little Island. She was a fashion designer in Ukraine, but as you know, they had to leave with nothing. Within a very short space of time, I had somebody come to me and say, look, I've a sewing machine at home. You can have it with a heart and a half. And was willing to offer the lady a part-time job.
Fantastic.
If she was looking for it. We don't know how many are going to come or who's going to come or what the situation will be.
There's a Ukrainian gentleman living in Kerry Pike, which is just down the road. He's about to be the busiest man in Blarney, I think, if the numbers come that we think. Looking at the practicalities as well, there's going to be things, say if you want to be a host family and you may need to get your bedroom ready. We've put out an appeal for plumbers and electricians and people who may give furniture.
So it's really about a community coming together to prepare for as many families as can be accommodated, essentially.
Yeah.
And have families arrived already, Kate?
There's one on their way down from Dublin Airport. They landed at 5 o'clock tonight. They're going out to Clareau.
It's part of Blarney, really. It's, I suppose, always has been. And, you know, there are so many B&Bs around Blarney that there are always guests. No, of course, past 2 years haven't been very normal. But, you know, it's, I suppose, welcoming visitors from all over the world is part of the DNA of a lot of people in Blarney.
Blarney is just one example of a community used to welcoming tourists who are now preparing to welcome refugees. Elsewhere in Cork, in Blackpool, Wojtek from Together Razim charity is fielding calls constantly.
Yeah, my name is Wojtek Białek, and I am the coordinator of Together Razim Centre. And we are a charity providing support to Polish and Eastern Europeans.
When did you start preparing for Ukrainian refugees?
The day after the invasion started, we got a phone call of the distressed one of our service users that she was unable to help her family. And we were reconnecting the families with safe locations in Poland. And then we just started to think, you know, what can we do? But we decided ourselves that we need to switch our focus. We just need to switch focus on those Ukrainians who started to arrive in Ireland, and we started to create a plan, you know, in what way can we help them. We are very busy, I must say, and this is why, you know, I'm taking so many different phone calls. So we don't have the big capacity to deal with the influx, and we are appealing to the government bodies for support. Because, you know, from the kind of logical perspective, we are probably the best place to provide support to Ukrainians, because we share the same culture, the same values, even the languages are quite similar. Yeah. And
so what are the things you need, or what are the things the community needs who are coming here?
First, we just need to be consulted. We just want to be at the table with the government departments. We just want to show them our expertise. We just want to be heard. We already recruited two Ukrainian-speaking volunteers.
Have you got the funding?
We haven't actually got the funding yet. My phone is actually ringing constantly. Sorry for that. We prepared proposal and we're just waiting for TUSLA to let us know. We had two kind of waves of people. First wave of people who were fleeing the country and they were not that affected by the war trauma. And now we also seeing the people coming from Kharkiv, coming from the Mariupol, coming from the other kind of part of Ukraine, and they are traumatized. And there is a huge need for support in this area of mental health service as well. I got in touch with the accreditation bodies in Ireland, asking for contact to Ukrainian speaking council. And it seems like there is only one for the whole Ireland. Only one Ukrainian-speaking counselor, which is a little bit of scary. We need to speed up the process of accreditation because we have contacts in Poland with great counselors and psychotherapists. Maybe there is something to for the accreditation bodies to speed up the process of accreditation. It's badly, and it's going to be more people traumatizing coming to Ireland.
So that gives you a sense of the logistical operation needed now to help and support those Ukrainians who choose to come here. In recent days, Nadia Dobryansky, who spent time studying in Belfast previously, she was able to convince her parents, along with her cousin and three-month-old child, to flee to Ireland. She tells me that so far, she believes Ireland is preparing well.
You know, when we hear about Russian atrocities in the cities, but we barely hear anything about the countryside around those cities. And the news were pretty much horrendous, like Russian tanks firing at cottages. So I was just growing very anxious about that. I just got very nervous. And the same time, I got a call from Ireland from someone, from a friend of a friend, saying, "Why would you not leave? We'll help you." And I think that this call gave me some leverage over my parents, saying, "Well, listen, there are people outside worrying about us too. It's not just me." I convinced them, and we also took my cousin's wife, I think she counts as a cousin these days, and their baby, a three-month boy. Service at the airport, the border guards, they processed us relatively quickly and passed us on to the one-stop shop. They also gave us free SIM cards, like prepaid for a month, I think. And yeah.
So you're here a couple of days. Have you come to terms with it?
It's hard to say. I think my parents are still in shock. My cousin keeps saying that it's pretty unbelievable that we're here.
What are the things, the support structures that need to be put in place, do you think, for yourselves, but for, you know, many more people we expect to come?
I'm delighted with the level of communication. As far as I'm concerned, it's astounding even to the Irish people in terms of the capacities.
Okay, so far so good. There are a lot of communities that want to help. There are Polish communities that I've been speaking to that want to help. What are the things people can do? Obviously, accommodation is going to be a big issue, isn't it?
Yeah, it will be, of course. There's a lot of help going into Ukraine, and it seems that it could be more sensible to raise the money and to send organizations who are doing it in a centralized way, because there have been news about women being sent stilettos, for example, which makes no sense whatsoever, which is a beautiful gesture. But, you know, so maybe looking for more centralized efforts to help people in the border communities. And in terms of here, I still don't know. I mean, we're really looked after really well where I am, and people are so generous. I'm short for words to say how thankful we are.
And that is nice to hear. That's human rights activist Nadia Dobryanska, originally from Kyiv, but now seeking refuge in Cork, ending Brian O'Connell's report.